7 come 11, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A real live Medicare podcast by Cracky. Country Joe McDonald taught him to spell.
Give me an F! Give me a U!
Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hey, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, and this is Doug Jones, as you were just told a minute ago. Some of you may have short memories, so I just like to reinforce the important facts of our podcast, and also I want you to notice how polite I always am. I wait until that last person has stopped applauding before I even speak, and that is to give them the thanks that they deserve for even applauding in the first place. But that's pretty enthusiastic, and I always like to hear that applause. Thank you, Drew McMillan, for your introduction. Drew McMillan is my Canadian nephew, who is also a host on Powerboat TV, episodes of which you can watch if you're a Yank on powerboattv.com. But once again, welcome to Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is episode 69. Randy and I are in the throes of trying to figure out a better way to number our episodes because, as unlikely as this is, someday something will happen. There'll be some breaking news. We'll want to screw up our numbering system, and then you'll be all confused when I tell you, okay, this is episode 69, but we're really going to play it in place of episode number 71. And then we're going to go backwards for a couple of episodes, and then da-da-da-da-da. So I'm hoping that somebody can give me an idea as to the proper way to handle that for maximum flexibility going forward. Today's date is June 9th. You're probably going to hear this sometime in July because Randy works me like a dog. And we are many, many episodes ahead. If both of us croak, if we get run over by a steam shovel, we're still going to be, our voices will live on in infamy so long as somebody pushes the magic button three times a week. Randy, will you play the 30-second radio spot that you and I created together?
Right here?
Right here, right now.
Okay.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Okay, that was pretty nice. I never get tired of hearing that, and the Rolling Stones never seem to get tired of playing that music. So just wanted to explain in a musical way why we are here. We're here because Medicare can be very taxing and confusing, and we want to make it a pleasant way for people who have Medicare decisions to make to figure out what they have to do. So, again, my friend and spiritual advisor, Randy Carson. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Mr. Jones. How was the trip back east?
Well, it was kind of disappointing because you had the great idea of doing an episode on the road. And I, after a couple of days on the road, I got real sick of something happened. I got my head caught in a beer bottle one night. I never fully recovered and I got laryngitis. So it was just as well that I didn't try to do that from the road, but driving across this great country of ours is usually a happy occasion for me. I love to get in the car and go out on the road and take long automobile trips. But when we left Arizona, which is fairly normal during these weirdo times of panic and frustration, we got to New Mexico, which is almost like New York or California. The Democrat governor there has clamped down tightly and everybody's all masked up and looking real stupid and scared. And then when you get to Texas, things loosen up again and things are a lot more normal. And then we got to that liberal mecca of Austin. And we checked into the Fairmont Hotel, which is one of the five stars. It's a huge high-rise hotel. We were on the 29th floor, and I think there were a whole bunch of floors above us. But when I walked in the door of the hotel into this huge lobby, there were about 10 employees of the hotel, all wearing matching black masks and floating around waiting just for people like me to come in. And they rushed at me with thermometers and took my temperature and then pronounced that I was okay. And I said, well, I could have told you that. Well, that happened about 25 times every time I came in or out of the building or came up from the parking garage. It was intrusive, but it wasn't as bad as having to talk to these people with their masks on. And on the last day, I had to go to the front desk to ask about how to get my parking validated. And there was one desk clerk without a mask on. And I was so shocked that I didn't even think to ask him how he got away with it. And he was a young guy, and he didn't really seem to be in a position of authority. So I wonder if all those people didn't have the option of not wearing the masks, but chose to become fearful. In my opinion, the mask wearing in many places is a political statement. And I'm starting to assume that anybody I see that's wearing a mask, other than somebody really old or obviously screwed up, is making a political statement. And that statement is likely to be the complete opposite of what I believe. But then we drove from Texas into Oklahoma, stayed in a hotel, no masks at all, bought gas, no masks. Then we crossed into Missouri and spent most of a day driving through Missouri, actually tried to stop for dinner just south of St. Louis at a Texas Roadhouse. And boy, this place is always busy. It's always hopping, and it's in a shopping center full of restaurants. So we pulled into a parking lot and noticed there was a shed where there had never been a shed before, blocking the road up to the main entrance of the Texas Roadhouse. So I got out of the car, went up to this shed. There was a kid with a mask on inside the shed. And I said, is there any reason why we can't just walk up to the building and go in? And he said, did you get your text? And I said, I did not know you sent me a text. He said, yeah, we sent you a text. And I said, that's incredible. What's my name? How do you know my phone number? And he said,
what's my name?
And he said, we send everybody a text. And I said, okay, what would this text say? Let's assume I got it, but I don't know how to read.
Given you don't even know my name.
Exactly. And he said, well, there's at least an hour long wait right now. And obviously, there's social distancing inside the Texas Roadhouse where all people want to do is go in there and stuff their faces full of food. And so we just turned around and went to some crappy seafood joint. And I just drank beer, watched my wife eat some kind of shellfish that I think would have given me hives if I had eaten it. And they took our temperature when we went in the door there, too, and they were all masked up. But the next day, went to Illinois and southern Illinois, no big deal. Get up to the area of Illinois west of Chicago where I hang my hat during the summer, and it's like jail. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm sick of this place. I'm sick of all this this panic about Chinese virus, and I want this bullshit. I said a nasty poo-poo word. I want this stuff to come to an end, and I want the American people to claim their freedoms back. I don't know about you, Randy, but I'm kind of sick of being pushed around by all these weirdos.
I totally agree. I'm right on that bandwagon with you, Doug. I mean, it's getting to the point now, and I won't go into the gory details, but it doesn't take long to figure out that we have really gone over the edge here.
I think we've been over the... Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's Maybe I've ignored it for long enough to think, hey, there's a certain amount of sanity going on in the United States. And then I've just discovered over the weekend, I was wrong. There is no sanity going on.
Well, I think there have been times of insanity in the past, and we've somehow managed to pull things back from the brink. And I'm hoping that that's what happens again this time, but who knows when that's going to happen. Do we have to wait for the election? Is that going to inspire greater insanity? Because it seems as though there's a segment of the population that does not believe in normal, civilized behavior. My observation.
You know, when you told me, you know how my mind works, right? It works in very mysterious ways.
I know that it usually does work, but there are times when I question.
Over the weekend, you were wondering, yeah. Right? So anyway, long story short is when you said they ran up to you immediately at your hotel and took your temperature, and I'm sitting here going, wow, that was painful.
Well, actually, no, it was not what you're thinking. And your second thought might be that I had to open my mouth and put the glass tube in my mouth, and then they stood there looking at their watch for 30 minutes or 30 seconds or whatever. No, that's not. They have some sort of electrical device. So
it's okay. I don't want to stay here. No, I'll be back.
So as soon as we get here, the next day, my wife's got a dental appointment, and she goes to the dentist, and they said, look, we've got all these strict rules and crap, and you've got to sit in your car till we come and get you because we're not using our waiting room anymore. So she sat in the car for 10 minutes. It was pretty darn hot and sunny. And when she, figure this out with me. Here are medical professionals, right? So they come and get her out of her car. And then they take her inside, and the first thing they do is take her temperature, and it's 102.5.
Yeah, Grant, you could boil eggs on her forehead.
And they said, oh, my God, you're going to kill us all with your disease. And she said, just give me a minute. I've been sitting in that car sweating up a storm. These people, she can't have been the first one. In fact, when she came home and told me all this, I called them up and I said, I've got an appointment with you on Friday. And they said, why, yes, you do. And I said, forget it. I'm not coming in there until you guys wise up. Are you sure? Yes, absolutely. So I'm never going back there or any other place in Illinois that forces you to jump through those kinds of hoops. Anyway.
Well, there's that. Oh, go ahead, Doug.
No, nothing. I was just going to say they have these little electronic devices. I don't know how good they are if they're passing them out to every idiot restaurant employee in the world.
Well, the other issue is that, in today's world, I don't think, whether you're there for a doctor's appointment or what you're there for, I don't think sitting in your car is probably the best idea because somebody could run up to your car and drag you out of there and beat you.
Well, in my smoking days, I would have gotten out of the car and walked around or enjoyed the fresh air. They might have even said, enjoy the fresh air and the birds singing and all that stuff. In Wasco, Illinois, it's unlikely you're going to get accosted unless they know the podcast and they're upset about not having enough.
Well, yeah, they could be waiting for you, Doug. I mean, you're in a whole different territory than Arizona.
We want more mailbag. We want more mailbag. So that
I'm
going to
tell. I'm trying, guys. He's back in Illinois, and they're going, where's he at?
We'll go get him. Oh, no, we're not going that far. Well, anyway, so if we're going to do any Medicare stuff today, I thought in light of all of this negative darkness that we're living with right now and the concern that this could go on forever, I ran across a little something that brightened my day considerably. And I'd like to share it with the audience. There's nothing like a day brightener, especially when you're talking about Medicare. And so what happened was, you may reach back into the depths of our Medicare podcast history and remember that one of my first episodes, I listed all of the Medicare podcasts there were out there and told a little bit about each one. One of the podcasts that I mentioned was the Senior Agent Podcast with Christopher Westfall. And you would really have no reason to listen to this if you're a normal participant in Medicare, because Christopher Westfall has a podcast addressed to other agents that sell Medicare products. And his podcast is not aimed at your average 65 plus year old citizen. So The other interesting thing about the podcast is when he comes on, and it's not really scheduled that well. So there are long periods of time with no podcast episodes, and then all of a sudden he has a couple of podcasts. He says, "Hi, I'm in Europe with my family, and I'm doing this and that and everything." He has a history that's kind of interesting. He's an ex-police officer from Daytona Beach, Florida. And I think it might be from the county that Daytona Beach is in. But I know some other ex-cops, and frankly, they all have a pretty dim outlook of their fellow human beings. I think they've seen the underbelly of society, and he is no different. Every time he does an episode, and I force my wife in the car to listen to a bunch of these Medicare podcasts, his thing was, "Oh, God, well, they did it again, those idiots, blah, 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 blah." But this was a new take, and he made reference to a study that he discovered that brought a smile to my face. There's another Medicare podcast that has excoriated people like me for denigrating Medicare Advantage plans. And this podcaster has a real weird take on the fact that everybody in the world doesn't agree with him that you should consider Medicare Advantage plans equal to Medicare Supplement. His take is that any agent who does not promote Medicare Advantage plans is lazy and refuses to go through the annual testing that happens every June and takes many days, depending on how many companies you're going to certify with. He says that those agents are lazy bums. Oh, he's including me in there too. And I think he's completely insane. I say that any agent who promotes Medicare Advantage plans is only in it for the very, very large commission check that they get every time they sell a Medicare Advantage plan. So which is it going to be? High commissions because you're a prostitute, or lazy because you don't want to study, but you're going to do a better job by helping your clients understand the advantages of Medicare supplement plans? So why did these thoughts all fall out of my mouth just now? The interesting thing that happened is that Christopher Westfall, the senior agent podcast guy, told me about a study, and I confirmed this independently by a little Googling. I have the report right here. The Office of the Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. The study was to find out how people's claims were handled under Medicare Advantage plans, and the results were kind of surprising and very disappointing for lovers of Medicare Advantage plans. I'm going to give you the short version because I've got stuff that I could read for hours. But in a nutshell, Medicare Advantage plans often require permission from your primary care physician to even see a specialist. And then often when a complicated procedure is going to be performed or recommended, permission has to be granted by the plan that you're covered by for that to happen. And there's been a history of denials, inappropriate denials. And that word is used over and over and over again. Inappropriate denials of payment or access to services or both. And so the Inspector General of HHS decided to do a study. And this was a study of denials of payment and access to treatment that occurred in, I think, 2016 to 2018. And it discovered something interesting. What I've been telling you all these years without a whole lot of proof, just gut going on my gut, turns out to be exactly true when measured by these authorities. Of the people who have appealed because their procedure was denied, or of the medical providers who have appeals because payment was denied, fully 70% of those appeals were handled successfully. So of the appeals, of the people who appealed, 70% were given a full payment or completely given full permission to proceed with the treatment that they sought. In other words, these plans reversed 75%, partially successful were 5%. So fully successful, 70% of the appeals, partially successful, 5%. So 75% of the appeals were acted on favorably by the very plans who denied the payment or the treatment in the first place. Only 25% of the appeals were unsuccessful. Now here's the scary thing. Of all the people who had complaints like this and had denials of treatment or denials of payment, only 1% even tried to appeal. So we have 99% of the denials going unchallenged. Of the 100% of people who were denied, 1% filed appeals. Of those 1%, 75% were either fully or partially successful in getting payment or access to the treatment that was deemed medically necessary for them. So what's going on with these plans? They are denying things, it looks like. They're denying payments, they're denying treatment because it saves them money. So that's what it looks like to me. I don't have any proof other than the results of the studies, and I've got several articles here that define those results and talk about the studies and how they were conducted and why they were conducted. It appears to be a widespread, persistent problem with Medicare Advantage organizations. When they overturn 75% of their own denials upon appeal, that tells me that those people are denying things just to deny them. And 99% of the participants just go away. They wind up paying out of their pockets or not getting the treatment that they are told will help them, or the doctors or the providers are not getting paid for services they rendered. So once again, this is support for my contention that Medicare Advantage plans will cause a lot of discomfort and unhappiness to those Medicare participants who decide to buy them because they're really, really cheap and they're sold a bill of goods by the very aggressive sales teams that these Medicare Advantage plans put out on the street. Now, the corollary to this, or the further disturbing thing, is that our president and his administration are firmly behind the promulgation of Medicare Advantage plans to the exclusion of Medicare supplement plans. In fact, one of the major books that comes out every year and that people are told to rely on for Medicare information, I'm told, I haven't seen this, but I'm told it has been extensively rewritten to the advantage of Medicare Advantage plans and to the ignoring of Medicare supplement plans. So rather than getting a balanced picture when one opens that book, and that book is available on my website, medicareforthelazyman.com. If you go to my website, there's a menu item, light reading, and nothing light about Medicare reading, let me tell you. But you click on that light reading thing and you've got the opportunity to download a couple of government books. And apparently these books are being re-edited to conform with the government line that Medicare Advantage is better for the government, at least, if not for the population. And this is very disturbing. And I believe we're going to be talking about Medicare Advantage plans more frequently in the future, because often it's difficult for me to stop Randy from his expressing his very vociferous opinions. He's had some friends that had unfortunate Medicare Advantage experiences.
And you see me out here waving my hand, Doug? I've got my hand raised.
I did see the nose hairs, kind of wiggling. your hand was outside the camera range.
This should be criminal. You know that, don't you? I mean, bottom line is they're just betting on the come that, you know, if you're sick, you're not going to want to fight the battle.
And of the 1% of the people who actually fight the battle, almost all of them win. 75% of them win.
I can pretty well guarantee you that the absolute first response to the majority of those the majority of the claims is no.
And they hope that those people will just go away. And apparently,
yes,
99% of them do.
Well, that, you know, it's absolutely human nature. They're going with the statistical nature of humans, okay? That's all they're doing. And that ought to be publicized, like, on the nearest bulletin board on the nearest building, because most people don't understand that.
Well, I'm going to shout it from the buildings, the tops of buildings that, St. Charles, Illinois doesn't have a lot of tall buildings, but I'm going to publicize it to the extent that I'm able to. And frankly, it's going to become a credo. It's going to become a cause célèbre. I don't know. There's a term for what we're going to do, which is declare war on these criminal organizations. And I'm hoping that someday we'll be successful. We may be like Don Quixote tilting at windmills, but I'll go out with a fight if I have to.
Oh, I'll be right along with you, because as you said earlier, I've had friends that were sold a bill of goods along with a big bottle of snake oil, and they were hurt badly.
I've got a bunch of clients, and when a new client calls me that doesn't know my rationale, and they say, well, how do we approach this subject of Medicare? I was referred by so-and-so, and I say, all right, well, first of all, you know, Medicare Advantage out the window, and here's the reason why. I don't want you to call me with unhappy news about your Medicare plan screwing you over. And I then have to tell you, well, you cannot change Medicare plans until the end of the year. When you have a Medicare supplement, you almost never call me. You might have a change of address every so often. You move from one place to another. You almost never, ever have a reason to call your agent when you have a Medicare supplement plan. And the only time you're unhappy is just the 12 times a year you have to write a check. And if you listen to my special advice, you're not even that unhappy then, because I've got the secret weapon of Medicare supplement plans that makes Medicare supplement almost painless and certainly much, much better than Medicare Advantage. But that's content for a whole nother time. So at least Randy and I are in agreement here. I keep looking for subjects that he and I are going to disagree on, and so far it's been tough to find.
That is not going to happen, Mr. Jones. I kid you not. I wish we could talk about this for the rest of the afternoon, because you've got me all stirred up now. But
nap time is going to intrude.
No, not nap time now. I won't be able to go to sleep tonight. However, we have used our gasoline here for this particular episode.
Poop.
So I think we best wind it down and wait, you know, keep our passion for next time.
All right. Well, I did want to make a big, huge announcement, which nobody's going to hear for a month and a half, but tomorrow, June 10th, is a free giveaway of the ebook version of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. And the last time we did this, which is back at the end of March, 651 books went out the door. Now, these are ebooks, so nobody has to actually print them on paper and nobody's asking me for an autograph, but that tells me that there's a lot of interest out there in getting good quality medical information. So I'm hoping for another big response to the one day of free ebook giveaway tomorrow. And then we're back to charging $3.80. So believe me, even the cheapest of the cheap can afford $3.80 to get good quality Medicare advice. So buy the book. You can buy it at Amazon.com. You can buy it at BarnesandNoble.com if you wish. And like and review the podcast if you wish. And what else do we like to have people do? Go to the website, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com.
Yeah, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. And we also need to thank them for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And I want to thank Randy, as always, for making it possible. Without him, I would be talking into my computer and nobody would be on the other side answering.
Doug's leaving me all stirred up now because he spent a lot of time talking about Medicare Advantage plans, and I'm going to print some t-shirts up here shortly, and they won't say anything good about Medicare Advantage plans.
Oh boy, it's too bad it's such a long word. Only the very large people will be able to wear those t-shirts and get the message across.
If it gets any worse, these stories about Medicare Advantage, I'm considering renting a banner and hooking it to a plane.
And the plane will sit on the runway because your pilot's license is expired.
There you go. Well, or we're on lockdown and can't go anywhere.
I believe what we'll do is we'll eventually recruit an army of people to go out and demonstrate and protest and maybe break some windows and steal some televisions. What do you think?
Well, you know, we can do that. I think that's how protests work, isn't it? You get to break the law for, you know, weeks on end.
That's the only example I've ever seen. It seems to work. I mean, everybody goes home at the end of the day tired and happy.
With a new television under their arm.
Yeah, and maybe a bottle of booze, too.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's the way it works nowadays.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We're looking forward to coming back again real soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.